Bibles out tonight, turn to the New Testament, the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 17. Matthew chapter number 17. We're going to look down to about verse number 14 when you find it. Let's stretch our legs one more time, if you don't mind. Matthew chapter number 17. Stretch your legs. Look down to verse 14. I'll read. And we just prayed. And so after we finish reading, we'll let you go ahead and be seated. And I'm going to preach on a topic I've preached on many times, but not out of this passage before. Boy, what a blessing it was when the Lord shows you something refreshing and new, and I pray it'll be an encouragement to you tonight. Matthew chapter number 17, look down at verse 14. The Bible says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour." We'll stop there, let you be seated tonight, and jump right into this. This is a passage we've all heard many times before, but there's a truth in verse 17 we're going to pull out tonight, and I believe will be a blessing to you if you'll open your heart to it. As we continue to study the character of Christ, we want to have an encounter with Christ, which means we are going to adopt and become more like Christ and have his character in our life. There are certain traits that come easier. There are some traits that we enjoy. We look forward to being kind and love and compassion. Those are the easy ones. We've talked about those. But some are going to come harder than others. And oftentimes the ones that are harder to get are the more valuable in the Christian life. And I believe that's the case of the one tonight in verse number 17. Now I want you to follow along as I read this verse again and see if you can get a sense of the emotion that Christ has. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. This is a young man who is afflicted with an evil spirit. The Bible says that they took him to the disciples. The disciples could not help him. And finally, they bring him to Christ. The dad brings him to Christ. And you can sense some frustration in Christ that his disciples were incapable of doing what he's given them the capability to do. I believe what you're hearing in verse number 17 is a holy indignation, if you will, of our Savior looking at those whom he has commissioned and they are unable to do what he's called them to do. I believe today we probably have that same sentiment in our direction, as oftentimes we as the people of God are incapable or appear to be incapable of doing what thus saith the Lord. But there's something I want you to see in verse 17 that I believe we need to adopt in our lives tonight, and it's going to be a hard one. You notice, in spite of his frustration, Christ calls the boy over and he heals the young man, and then he begins to teach the disciples why they were incapable of doing this work. If you'll notice over in verse number 19, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. And he begins to teach them. Now I'm going to be honest with you. If I got to the boiling point where I said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? I am starting to max out my frustration. Have you ever been that frustrated? To where finally it begins to boil up out of your heart and begins to come out of your mouth. Maybe that's natural for you. It's not necessarily something that comes natural for me. I don't pop off too terribly much. But when I do, finally it begins to spew out in frustration. And yet we see Christ here. And yet it's the fact that his disciples were incapable. What I want you to see tonight is what we're going to talk about for a few minutes. I want you to see his patience. I want you to see his patience. That in spite of the fact he's frustrated, in spite of the fact that they have failed, and in spite of the fact that they are faithless, he continues not only to heal the young man, he continues to teach them. Now, I told you this is going to be a hard one tonight, because if there's one area that I have to work on and repeatedly in my life, it's this area of patience. But if Christ has the characteristics of patience and he is my example and I follow in his footsteps, then you and I should also learn what the Word of God has to say about patience in our life. I'll give you a few quotes that I think you can relate to. Someone said, patience is something you admire in the driver behind you, but not in the one ahead of you. Amen. Someone says, I had my patience tested, and I was negative. Someone also said, patience is what you have when there are too many witnesses. Could agree with that one. Someone wrote a poem, short poem. It says, patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Found seldom in a woman and never in a man. I think we'd all relate to that just a little bit. And we joke about patience. And I told my wife, we got to the red light there, and I said, I'm preaching on patience tonight. And I always get nervous when I preach on patience. Why? Because God's going to send me a reason to learn patience tomorrow. I assure you of that. It always happens that way. And yet, here's what Paul said. 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul said in verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Paul was speaking to Timothy, and he says, you've known my testimony, and part of my testimony has been my patience. And I believe tonight that that should be part of our testimony. But how do we develop patience? How do we have patience? I believe in verse number 17 of all of the verses in the Bible that speak on patience, I believe verse 17 holds three very important clues at the patience that Christ has that should show us an example for us tonight. So let's look at it, if we could, on the patience of Christ for a few minutes. He says here in verse 17, O faithless and perverse generation, now watch what he's about to say. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I be with you? Now watch. You can sense the frustration of our Savior with his disciples, and yet in the midst of his frustration, he gives us a key to how we can have patience and how he was having patience. Notice the words, how long shall I be with you? He's showing us tonight that one of the keys in having patience, he uses a term, how long. He's speaking about time. And he understands something tonight that you and I have got to learn and relearn all throughout our life. Number one tonight, that one of the keys to having patience and to following the example of Christ in patience, it involves a commitment of time. There's no way that you and I will ever have the patience we should and follow in the example of Christ in his patience until we understand that patience requires a commitment of our time. Oftentimes we think about patience as being something we ask God for and God's going to fly over with a heavenly helicopter and drop patience in our lap. Wouldn't it be wonderful if it happened that way? It doesn't happen that way. Oftentimes we look at patience as something that God's going to give us that's going to overpower our will. It doesn't happen that way. We should think of patience tonight more of a choice than a gift. Patience is something you choose, not necessarily something you're given. I would be thankful tonight. You go to the doctor and you have a headache and he gives you something and the headache goes away. You go to the doctor and your muscles are aching and he gives you a shot and suddenly the aches go away. Wouldn't it be nice if suddenly God just gave us patience and we had no problem waiting on the will of God? It's not going to happen that way, because if God did that, then he's overpowering your will and you're not choosing that. Patience has got to be something that you and I choose for ourselves. And let me give you the definition tonight right here in point number one. Patience is choosing to be committed to the will of God until. Patience is choosing to be committed to the will of God until. You say, until what? Until. Just until. That I am willing to wait and I am committed regardless of the matter of time that it takes to accomplish the will of God in my life. Hebrews 12, the Bible says, seeing wherefore we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Could you hear one word in there without it being said? It's time. A race takes time. What a race is all about? They're about time. And the Bible says in order to run our race, we have to have patience. What is that? A commitment to the time. Now, can I tell you something tonight? Only God knows the timing of his will for your life. Only God knows. Maybe you're going through a trial and you're wondering, how long? How long? Is that not what Christ said? How long shall I be with you? And you wonder, how long is this trial going to last in your life? Or maybe you have a question mark about a job or about college or about a mate for life, and you're wondering, how long am I going to have to wait for that? You're going to have to wait until. You're going to have to wait until. So how are we going to do that? You're going to do it with patience. I think about William Carey. I just read about him this week, that he labored for 7 years in Burma before he saw his first convert to Christ. 7 years. I know a lot of Christians, maybe I'm even one of them, that after 7 years of not seeing someone saved would have packed my bags and gone home. And yet William Carey was committed to the timing of God's will for his life. That's why he tells us in his word, he makes all things beautiful in his time. You see, when we develop Christ-like patience, it's when we are choosing to be committed to the will of God regardless of the time. I want to tell you something, folks. That's a tough one to swallow sometimes. This past week, we're down at the USO, and I was meeting with the folks there, and we're talking about what they need and how we could help and so on and so forth. And I was speaking with Mr. Wendell. He's the director that is there, and he says, one of our greatest needs that we have here is one of the most valuable commodities. And I'm thinking to myself, well, surely he's not talking about those cup of noodles now. Because I don't know that a cup of noodles is one of those valuable commodities. I said, well, what is one of your greatest needs? He says, it's time. We need people to be willing to give their time. And he says, we'll have people, they don't mind giving water, and they don't mind giving food. He says, but getting people to come out and actually give us time to help work with the troops and whatnot, he says, that's something we're kind of short on. Giving our time. I believe tonight that's probably the same problem we have in God's work. It's not just in the military work. I think it's in God's work as well. The only way that we are committed to timing is long as it's comfortable and convenient. That I'll commit to the timing of God's will as long as it's comfortable and long as it's convenient for my schedule, and yet that is not what patience is. Patience is being willing to be committed to the timing of the will of God. And here's Christ. Look at the patience he's having with them. Is he frustrated? Absolutely. When you call someone, oh, faithless and perverse generation, I don't think you do it with a smile on your face. And yet he's showing us his patience by the fact that he's committed to the timing of the will of God in his life. And folks, this is where we miss this thing. If it doesn't happen within the window of when we desire and what is comfortable to us, we abandon the will of God, so often, I believe, missing out on what God desired to do in our life. I've learned God does not operate on my timetable. I wish he did, but you know, his ways are higher than my ways. What does that mean? It means his timing is always going to be perfect. John 15:13, we know this verse well. Oftentimes around our first responder Sunday, we talk about this. Greater love hath no man than this. Then what does he do? He lays down his life for his friends. Do you know what our life is? It's really our time, isn't it? Isn't it amazing that Christ says, greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life? He says, the greatest love is to lay down your life and to give of your life. Maybe not physically, but giving of your life, your time. That's why he says it's the greatest love. It's a commitment of our time that, Father, whatever your will is, it doesn't matter. I'm committed to your timing, not mine. That's the patience that Christ has. Romans chapter 8, verse 25, the Bible says, if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. If we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. What is waiting? It's time. It's time. What are we hoping for? The will of God. And if we're hoping for the will of God, do you know what we must be committed to? The timing of God. There's no way that we can say, I want the will of God in my life, but I want it now, or I want it tomorrow, or I want it yesterday. No, if we're hoping for the will of God, we wait for the will of God. That means we are relying on the timing of God. 1 Timothy 6:14, boy, I was reading this afternoon, as Paul speaks to the young preacher Timothy, he says this, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And notice what he says, you keep the commandment unrebukable, and there's a word in there you got to hear, until. Until. He says, I want you to keep it until, because here's what we do. We put stipulations on the will of God for our life, but we can't put stipulations on the will of God because only God can do that because it's his will. God, I'm going to wait for you where you've called me, the way you've called me, until you call me. That word until, that's a blank check that we give to God, that I'm going to be patient. It's a commitment of time. I read a story this past week I love reading stories about how things had their humble beginnings. And I read a story back in 1897. There was a man, and he was a carpenter. He was also a kind of a closet medicine man. He would mix up little tonics and try to sell them to people to make a little extra money on the side. And he took gelatin powder, and he began mixing gelatin powder in with fruit juice. And he mixed it up, and he stirred it up, and he left it out. And after a while, it began to solidify into this jellified fruity substance that he had there. He didn't know what he had, but he began going door to door saying, look, I have this fruity substance. I want to sell this to you. And nobody would buy it. And after 3 or 4 months of nobody buying what he had, he sold the patent for $450. Obviously, we know what it is. It's Jell-O. He had invented Jell-O. Every year in America, there's 1.1 million boxes of Jell-O sold in America. And do you know the family of Pearl Waite? His last name was actually Waite. The family of Pearl Waite does not get one dime out of the Jell-O. Why? Because he gave up after 3 or 4 months of trying to sell it. We had Jell-O at our lunch on Sunday. My mom made this Jell-O salad. Boy, it was good. But he gave up too easy. Can I tell you, as a Christian, you're going to miss out on the will of God and what God desires to do in your life if you don't learn to be committed to the timing of God's will. Watch Christ. What did he say? He's showing how patient he is by his timing. How long shall I be with you? But then watch the next thing he says. How long shall I be with you? And then, oh, it gets a little bit deeper here. How long shall I suffer you? Now, Christ is showing the second key in patience. The first key is a commitment of time, but now he uses a word that none of us like. It's the word suffer. Meaning, the word suffer, it means enduring a burden. When he was suffering, he was enduring hardships. How long shall I suffer with you? Number one, patience is a commitment of time. Number two, watch this. If we're going to learn patience, there's the acceptance of a burden. If you are going to be patient in the will of God for your life, you're going to have to realize, number one, it's going to cost you time. You're going to have to learn patience in the will of God. It's going to require time from you and a commitment to time. But number two, you're going to have to accept the burden of God's will. If there's two things I have found difficult in the will of God for my life, it's accepting his timing and accepting the burden of his will. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the will of God was easy? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the will of God was something where you just always felt like whistling and skipping down the lane, but it's not. Sometimes, as Christ in verse 17, there is suffering involved in the patience of the will of God. Think about it this way. Not only is patience accepting the time, patience is accepting the burden of God's will. That God, I am willing to wait even in suffering because I accept your will. And I'm being patient in your will. Julius Caesar said this, it's easier to find men who will volunteer to die than to find those who are willing to endure pain with patience. So true. It's easier to find men that are willing to die than to endure and be patient in the act of pain. You say, what do you mean? It means enduring the burden of God's will for your life. Now, I know Julius Caesar wasn't a preacher by no means, but boy, there's great truth there. Why did Moses, the Bible say in Hebrews chapter 11, choose rather to suffer affliction? When Moses came to the place where he had to decide, was he going to inherit all of Egypt or was he going to go out with his ragtag group of God's people? He had to choose whether or not he was going to suffer for the will of God. This is where you're going to lose the majority of the room right here. That when you begin to have to suffer being patient in the will of God, you're like, I am done with this. I'm done with this. And yet, why do we exclude ourselves tonight? I read Hebrews chapter 11. I read it in the Old Testament. It seems so many that followed God and trusted in his will for their life, it costs them suffering at some point. We've had it too good in America. We've had it too good for too long. And when things get difficult and hard, we automatically think it's not the will of God. And yet here's Jesus saying, how long shall I suffer you? How long am I going to have to bear this burden? It's amazing when you read your Bible, there's a word, I don't like the word, but it's in there, so we have to read it, right? It's the word long-suffering. The word long-suffering is mentioned over and over and over in the Bible. And I want you to think about this compound word, the two parts of it. Long, speaking of time. suffering, speaking of a burden. How often in the will of God are we called to long suffering? That means if I am going to have Christ-like patience in my life, I am willing to be committed to the timing of His will. And I'm also willing to accept the burden of His will. Romans 12:12, the Bible says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Now, I wouldn't mind waiting as long as it's like a doctor's office waiting room. Right? Air conditioned, you got some elevator music going there, maybe a water fountain, maybe a coffee pot over here. I don't mind being patient in comfort. But boy, it's tough being patient in tribulation. Could we just surmise tonight that if he says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, it means there are times I have to accept the burden of waiting in the place of suffering according to God's will. That there are times where I am called to long suffering. We're thinking, I just don't know if I believe that tonight. Well, you haven't read your Bible very far. You think about Joseph. I've never met Joseph, but reading the Bible, he seems like a pretty upstanding guy. I think Joseph was somebody we probably want all of our young men to model after in their life, because as you watch the testimony of Joseph, you do not see him waver. And yet all of Joseph's journey seemed to be long suffering. At least 13 years, he goes through trial after trial after trial after trial after trial. And yet, you know what he was doing? He was accepting the burden of the will of God. You say, how do you know that? Go to the end of the story. At the end of the story, he says, God meant it for good. He had accepted the fact that what he was going through, God had meaning in it. That even God and the God that we serve can work through suffering. Think about it. He says, I've accepted the fact that this is all of God for a meaning that will come at the end of the road. And boy, we get the privilege of seeing what was at the end of the road. And yet, how often do we abandon the will of God because we don't have Christ-like patience to accept the burdens that come along the way? Paul told Timothy, endure hardness. Endure hardness. Watch this. It's just like long suffering. Endure, that deals with time. Hardness, that deals with a burden. That at times in the Christian life, we've got to accept the burden that comes along with doing what God has called us to do. Romans 5:3, the Bible says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Tribulation worketh patience. Now, wouldn't it be great if we learned patience in the good times? Wouldn't it be great? Man, you got a dozen Krispy Kremes on your desk, and man, you got a hot cup of coffee sitting there on your desk, and man, things are going good, and man, you're just growing in your patience. You're not going to grow in patience that way. The Bible says patient in tribulation. That's when we learn that Christ-like patience as we go through tribulation. Why? Because then it's costing you. Does it cost you anything to be patient when times are good? But boy, when you're having to be still when the time is long, and you're having to be still when the burden is heavy, and you're having to be still when the suffering is long, that's when you're growing, that tribulation is producing patience in your life. Folks, if we're going to follow in the footsteps of Christ, we're not going to do it without patience. And here he is giving us a beautiful picture of it. Helen Keller said, we would never learn to be brave and patient if there were only joy in the world. We'll never learn to be brave and patient if there were only joy in the world. See, what do you mean? Well, if you know yourself like I know myself, and I think all of us as humans, we have a tendency when times are good, we just don't need God as much then. We don't. I was having lunch with a pastor the other day, and here in Hattiesburg, and he said, oftentimes you're not going to need God until you need God. You're not going to need God until you need God. So, well, look, I know that I need God. The Bible says I can do nothing without Christ. John 15 says that when that branch is separated from the vine, that it dies, it can do nothing of itself. I know that. Yeah, we know that up here, but we don't know it in practice. And oftentimes, God has to get us to the place to where we need Him before we finally need Him. And then finally, we accept the burden that God is using my suffering. What did He say? How long will I suffer you? How long? The time was a part of the patience, but also the burden was part of his patience. Patience is accepting the burden of God's will. We know the song, "It is well with my soul." That man, we know the story behind it. He did not write that lightheartedly. "Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Do you know what he's doing? He's accepting the burden of God's will. Now, you remember the story. He went out to the place where his daughters perished when the ship sank. And he's throwing out a wreath there where they're at. And he says, "Whatever my lot." He's accepting the burden of God's will. We're living in an age of very shallow spirituality, to where as soon as we have to suffer a little while, I'm done with that. And yet Christ is showing us, look, I'm setting the pattern for you that there's a patience that can only come from God, and it comes through tribulation. It works patience. It produces patience in our life. How do we have it? Number one, a commitment of time. How long? Could I encourage you tonight, if you want to have the patience that Christ has, be committed to God's timing, not yours. I'm committed. I told a preacher last night, he was preaching the revival Brother Zach singing at, and I says, I have come to the place in my life where I don't feel like I can tell God what I need, because I don't know that I trust what I need. I mean, how often have you bought yourself a Whopper? You thought you needed it. No, none of us ever need a Whopper. We need to go down to Subway and get us one of those veggie delights or something like that. We don't need a Whopper. We don't need a Big Mac. We don't need that cotton candy. I don't know that we're good judges of what we need. And I've learned to just go to God and say, God, I don't always know what I need, but Father, you know what I need. Father, would you give me what I need? Sometimes what we may need is a little suffering, difficulty. Why? He's teaching us patience. Number one, a commitment of time. Number two, an acceptance of a burden. And then watch this. He says, how long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Bring him hither to me. I found it interesting when we got to the end of the verse. Here he is. He chides the disciples just a little bit. He says, okay, bring the boy here. Bring the boy here. Now, this is the same young man that the disciples were incapable of healing, the very same one. And Christ says, you know, even though you couldn't, I'm going to take care of that for you. Now, there's a very important lesson you got to see here tonight. Oftentimes when others are incapable, and we look at a world where Christians right and left are incapable of doing the will of God, we see Jesus suddenly giving us the final ingredient. Watch this, number three tonight, a resilience of will. A resilience of will. When everybody else had given up on the young man, Christ went right back into it. He went right back into it. Do you know one of the greatest times you're going to be tempted to be impatient is when everybody else is being impatient? True. It's easy to be patient when everybody else is being patient. But man, slowly but surely, after a while, the world gets impatient. We're waiting on God. God, save our country. God, help our country. I guess God's just not listening. And after a while, you begin to get impatient as well. But watch Christ. When everyone else had failed, Christ steps in and refuses to relent. He's showing us an example here. Oftentimes in our Christian life, I'm afraid we look at failures of others and the incapability of others, and the incapability of others causes us to give up. And yet Christ is showing us, watch this, it doesn't matter that they were incapable and they were incapable. Christ steps in and gets the job done. He's showing a resilience of will. He says, you can. I think about our young people. I pray for our young people every day. I think about how often the world tells them they can't. You can't live right. You can't keep yourself pure. You're going to go out there and sow your wild oats, and then you're going to come back. And yet, no matter how many fails, through Christ, you can. Resilience of will. Be patient. It doesn't matter who else cannot. Be patient. Wait on God. Why? Because through Christ, you can. You know, a great example, Mom and Dad, would be for us to show them that same thing in our own personal life. That no matter how often Christians are incapable, and we see the average Christian example that's out there today is not necessarily something we want them to follow, and yet we should show them through our example, regardless of who fails, we're going to be patient for God to work. Have you ever thought about how many times you've missed out on what God wanted to do because you weren't patient? I've been there. Been there. I don't like missing out on anything, and yet I believe oftentimes the key is what we see here with Christ, the resilience of our will. He says, you know what? Bring him here. It doesn't matter if you couldn't bring him here. I can't. Now, folks, we've got to get this tonight. Because as Paul told Timothy, you know my patience. I believe tonight Paul was saying that what I was doing was worth waiting for. And what God is doing is worth waiting for. That's the testimony that we will leave behind. And yet how often things take too long, things get too tough, or others are not, and we decide, you know what? Well, I might as well be impatient too. And what a testimony to a world who's watching, who we say we're serving a God who's worth waiting for, and yet we don't wait for him. Christ says, be patient. O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Take your Bibles real quick. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to show you something before we close tonight. And look down, if you will, to verse number 24. I want you to see Paul's resilience of his will. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen. Can you tell he's suffering? In perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And yet Paul kept going. Why? His resilience of his will, he was patient, waiting. Do you know how many times Paul had been abandoned? Do you know how many times Paul was left alone? How many times he sat there in the prison with no company to keep him comfort? Yet why did he stay? Why was he faithful? Why did he endure all of this suffering and difficulty in the will of God? It's the patience of Christ. He says, I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. Do you know tonight, 2,000 years later, we are reading about his testimony? Because he was willing to wait on God. You ever wonder what your impact is going to have on generations that come behind you because you learned Christ-like patience? So what did you do? Well, you accepted the timing. God, I don't know what your timing is, but God, I'm going to wait and be patient on you. God, you know what? I don't know what suffering. Christ says, how long will I suffer you? God, I don't know what the suffering is going to be, but I believe in what you're doing enough. Like, Father, I'm willing to wait on your timing, and I'm also willing to accept the burden that comes along with that. By the way, if you're a Christian tonight and you're not carrying the burden of a Christian, you're missing out on one of the greatest privileges that a Christian could ever have. Having a small part in carrying the cross of Christ that he's allowed you to be a part of in this life, in this brief window that he's led us to live in. But how are you going to do it? Well, it's the same way with Christ. You're going to have a resilience of your will. Refuse to give in. Be patient in God's will. Someone said this one time, endurance is patience concentrated. Endurance is patience concentrated. After a while, you wait on God and you learn to wait on his timing. Last night we were on the way home from Louisiana, and we were talking with Miley about life. She was picking out her grandparents' names, and I said, Miley, it's a little early for that, isn't it? And we were going down the road, and she says, well, Dad, you know, Mom got married when she was 18, and I'm like, yeah, that's not going to happen. And I said, I'm not saying it couldn't happen, because God's timing is God's timing, but I'm just praying it won't. I don't know if Leslie's dad was praying in advance that much. And we were talking about God's will and God's providence in our life, and we were just going over stories. We had 2 hours to drive from New Orleans. There were road construction and all that getting back, so we had a lot of time to talk on the way there. And we were talking about how God's timing in certain places in our life was impeccable. To where you're sitting there and you're wondering, God, all right, God, are you sure? Are you sure? And you wait and you wait and you wait. Boy, and just about that last moment where you thought, okay, all hope is lost, God intervenes. And we were sharing the testimony with her of how God works in His time. His time. And then we were talking about different things that weren't always easy in our ministry. We're talking about we moved to Louisiana and you're starting a church from nothing. Boy, I mean, you got nothing to start with. I mean, we literally were scrounging. We were getting chairs off Facebook Marketplace where a church was saying, hey, we're getting rid of our chairs. Okay, we'll take them. And they were stained up and we'd shampoo the chairs and we're getting all the stuff put together. And slowly but surely, God began providing what we needed at our church. And I said, wasn't it amazing? Not only does God's timing impeccable, but God's providence is impeccable. Yeah, it was hard, but wasn't it good when God showed up? It's amazing how you wait a time and you suffer long and suddenly you forget all about that when God does what God was planning on doing all along. You just had to wait on God. Wait on God. And sometimes you're going to have to be like Paul. You're going to have that resilience of will that regardless of who around you fails and who around you falls, incapable of doing the will of God. You go ahead and make up your mind. It doesn't matter. I'm going to stay in the fight. I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to have Christ-like patience. Why? Because I want to see what God's going to do. James 1:4, we'll close with this. The Bible says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let patience have her perfect work. I went yesterday to get my hair cut. And every once in a while, it starts getting a little bit shaggy. And I hate when my hair touches my ears. So I went and sat down in the chair, and the lady says, well, how do you like it? I says, just do the best you can. And so she begins to snip and to trim and all of this, and she's going up the back of my neck. And I have I have a lumpy head. And she hit one of the bumps in the road. She's like, oh, I am so sorry. I said, oh, no, it's fine. Just do whatever you. She says, do you want me to taper the back, or do you want me to cut it off block? I says, I don't see it. Doesn't matter to me. I've never had anybody complain behind me. I just don't like the way it's tapered in the back. I just do whatever you like. I still don't know what she did back there. Maybe you have to tell me after we're done, Brother Michael. Did she taper? Did she block it? I don't know what she did. I just sat in the chair. I said, you do your thing. Do the best you can. My wife will be happy with whatever I end up. The Bible says, let patience have her perfect work. Sometimes it's hard to sit in that chair of life and be still and let patience do what only patience can do. But I promise you, you're going to love what God's doing. If you'll be patient, watch. Commit to God's timing. How long? Until. Until. Commit to God's timing. All right? How long shall I suffer you? How long am I going to bear that burden? Accept it. Just accept it. Joseph says, I've accepted this, that God has meant it for good. Joseph said, I accepted the pit. Joseph said, I accepted the prison. I just accepted it. And boy, in the end, Joseph got to see what God was doing. Why? He just accepted it. Maybe tonight, look, I think a lot of Christian misery is God's children fighting the suffering that God has ordained. Swallow that one. A lot of Christian misery is they're fighting the long suffering that God has ordained in their life, and that's why you're miserable. Just accept it. All right, God, maybe you've called me to suffer a little bit. God, maybe you've called to bear a burden. I'm learning patience because that's exactly what Christ did. And then you might have to have that resilient will that no matter who can't, boy, I'm going to step up and do the will of God regardless because I want to see God work. Patience tonight. God wants us to have patience. Let's have our heads bowed, eyes closed.